and gentlemen, let's go. Let's go. We ain't got no time to waste. Let's go. Let's go. You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Broncos country. Let's ride. Broncos country. Let's ride.
He's like, it's a Broncos country. Let's ride. He's like, Broncos country. Let's ride. He's like, Broncos country. Let's ride.
Broncos country. Let's ride. Broncos country. Let's ride.
You're in the zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Zone. Let's ride. Yes, indeed. Beards decided to sabotage us right out of the gate today by making at least some small handful of people think that this is a Broncos show. Hey, you know what? Let's not ride. Broncos country. Hey, Broncos country. Stay in the stable. Keep that horse tied up. Let's ride. I'm Joshua Briscoe. I've been spending the time in the other chair here for the zone as of late here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Beards McFly is here as well, but Jason Anderson is out today. This is the first day of his hold in, much like Kareem Hunt. I do not expect it to last very long. Kareem Hunt had maybe the funniest just sort of brief contract dispute, maybe in NFL history. I don't know. Kareem Hunt was holding out for less time than Clyde Edwards-Helaire was on the PUP list entering training camp. So I don't know, you know, what we're going to have to iron out with Jason, but I do believe that we will have him back very, very soon. Presumably tomorrow. Beards tomorrow, right? It's just today?
I think so.
Presumably it's tomorrow. So we'll have Jason back very, very soon. But it's just me and Beards here with you for the next 4 hours leading up to the program today. We have a lot to get through that'll all be excellent and mostly Chiefs related. We'll hear from the Chiefs live from St. Joe. Presumably, either late this hour or right around 11. And we'll talk to Craig Brown about all things Royals going on from Into the Fountains. We'll talk to him at noon about the young, fun, encouraging, moving in the right direction Kansas City Royals. I mean, you can hear the timidity in my voice, but I want to believe, even if I don't I at least want to believe. Maybe I do. We'll sort through some of that with Craig at noon. And then our friend Ryan Tracy of RGR Football, Locked On Chiefs. If you've been consuming Chiefs content on the internet, basically at any point since the dawn of the internet, you've probably heard plenty from Ryan Tracy. He was also a frequent guest on Almost Entirely Sports. So looking forward to bringing Ryan to the daytime audience to chat some Royals with him, or excuse me, some Chiefs with him. I bet he would be really confused if I asked him a bunch of Royals questions coming up at 1 o'clock. A lot of things that are kind of settling in right now as the Chiefs again today. They got the 10-10-10 rotation going on in practice today, so presumably it'll be a little bit shorter than usual, and we'll see what we actually learn from all of that. But the funniest thing from Chiefs camp over these last couple of days has been trying to figure out how much of these storylines we should be buying into. Maybe a little bit. Maybe it's liquidating all your assets to buy all of the stock possible in Isaiah Pacheco. I don't know yet. I'm not 100% sure if I say, hey, I want to throw some change over here and let's see where all of this goes. Or maybe it's time to just go ahead and write a check for everything and try to cash it in on Lil Poppy. That in and of itself is pretty much the core of training camp from an outside perspective. Like if you are a player or a coach on the Kansas City Chiefs, training camp is very important. It's about a lot of things. It's about teaching and learning and conditioning and getting yourself physically where you need to be. The preseason begins just around the corner. We are in game week. How about that? How does that make you feel? It makes me feel pretty good. There is a Kansas City Chiefs preseason football game this weekend. Woo! Thank you! I don't know why I have to force people to be excited about Chiefs football. It's even a noon kick on Saturday. I mean, I feel like a Saturday noon kickoff is quintessential, like, incredible preseason luck of the draw for us right out of the gate. It'll be in Chicago, so you can do your tailgating at home and everything. But even as we get to this point, I think we all kind of go through the, this is a little dramatic, but maybe the, which I know is strange for me, that we go through the various stages of football grief throughout the offseason. And we're still bargaining, I think. We're somewhere in there. Like, you have the absolute depression that just comes with the realization that football is over, whenever that is. You just sort of sit in the sadness of February and just sort of sulk for a little while. March comes around, and you start thinking about the new league year. You get some free agency. April has the draft. We can lead up through all of that. But really, we are talking about splinters of football. Free agency and the draft are transactional. We don't know what those guys are going to look like until they get on the field. Then you make it through the dark, dark days of June. June's a dark time in the NFL schedule. July, maybe even darker until camp starts. You get into the swing of training camp. Those first days of mini camps and training camps, man, if you're anything like me, you're either trying to be there or you are just like a gerbil at the water bottle, but your water bottle is Twitter. You ever watch a gerbil drink or a hamster or any of the any small rodents that have that particular water bottle that just like hangs on the side of their cage? Where it seems like the most inefficient possible way to drink water. It's just, it seems like laborious, it takes forever, and you're just trying to get any drop you possibly can. That's what the first couple of days of training camp are like. Oh, who looks good? Okay, well then you get used to it. Then pads come on. Oh, we're hitting now.
But they're wearing mushroom heads.
They do all look sort of like Toad from Mario. But if Toad from Mario was like 6'5", ran a 280, ran a 4.440, and all of a sudden, I feel like Toad
was charging straight at you.
I feel like Toad might be pretty good at football. Would his head be an advantage if you also put a helmet on over that, or would it be a disadvantage because he would be so top heavy?
I feel like he'd be a little top heavy.
I think he would be. I think you hit Toad at the ankles, although his feet are very low to the ground. The physics of cartoon characters playing football, believe it or not, is a frequent topic of conversation for us. If you're new to me and Beards doing radio, this might be, you know. The analogies come from different places. Jason gives me unrelenting bleep for not having seen Caddyshack or whatever. Uh-oh, someone just drove into a ditch because they were listening to the radio and found out I haven't seen Caddyshack. I get it. I know. I'm sorry. Whatever. Nobody's nerfed. But sometimes our analogies and our references are just going to be on different levels. I played a lot of Mario sports video games while Jason was, I don't know, presumably making friends or something. Whatever you do instead of playing Mario sports video games. I never got to that part because I had Mario Baseball on the GameCube, and what else do you need? Anyway, even when the pads come on, everybody looks like Toad from Mario. Whenever you start hitting in training camp, it's like, okay, here we go. Where's the hype train running? Chugga chugga. And right now it's on Isaiah Pacheco. I want to talk about him more in the running back room more in a second. I think there are some lessons to be learned from this. I think there's just some blind fun you can have. You can just say, hey, bleep it all. It's early August. Let me be excited about a guy whose nickname is Lil Poppy. Easy, 100%. I am not here to rant on that parade at all whatsoever. There is some fun, interesting stuff going on throughout that, though. But then you find that hype. Well, then eventually, around this time, especially as the Chiefs have had a pretty quiet training camp, which I'm sure they're perfectly fine with, you start to see some of it begin to simmer down in terms of the excitement, what we're learning, if there's anything new. And then the preseason gets here. And now you've got one team in their game day uniforms against another team in their game day uniforms. And that right there, I think, more than anything else, Soldier Field. Two classic teams, classic uniform matchups. Who will be starting for those teams? Presumably Patrick Mahomes will be out there. Presumably you're going to get to see, is Justin Fields playing? It actually wouldn't surprise me if he's not, now that I'm thinking about it out loud, because the Chiefs at this point seem to be the anomaly in terms of who plays early in the preseason. Only three preseason games now, of course, since they added the 17th game ahead of last season. But Andy Reid seems to really value that time for his guys more than he fears it as an injury risk. So you'll probably see a lot of your favorite Chiefs out there wearing their game day threads against another team on Saturday at noon. That's going to feel good. It's going to feel like football. By the fourth quarter of that game, you're going to wish we could sim to September 11th when the Chiefs go to Arizona to face the Cardinals. Because the next couple preseason games after that, it's going to be, okay, I had the hype. This was better than what we were working with. We finally have the next level. But nothing's ever good enough once you can see the real thing. And we are within striking distance of that now. I am excited about the game on Saturday. But after that, I think we're going to start backpedaling our way and setting our sights on Chiefs-Cardinals very, very soon, because that's when the games start to matter. You don't have to wonder if Andy Reid's hiding some of the good stuff in the preseason, just running the vanilla stuff. And even there, though, I do think there are things to keep an eye out for. But we're going through the football life cycle, and right now, we are in that period of time where I, for myself, am like unrealistically, unnecessarily excited for preseason game one. Just been a long time since we've watched Patrick Mahomes throw a pass in a red jersey. Or a white jersey, for that matter. In a non-yellow jersey. It's been a long time since I've watched a member of the Chiefs get fully tackled on purpose. Not Joshua Williams almost beheading Juju Smith-Schuster. Very clearly by accident. I don't know if you didn't see that clip over the weekend. Juju was going across the middle. Great connection. Joshua Williams just about beheaded him. Everybody's okay. It's an accident. Stuff happens in practice. Rookie's got to figure out, hey, man, let him get by you. It's training camp. He's your teammate. Don't clothesline him, even by accident. Nothing like came from that, but that's the difference. Like, that's the hardest hit you might see at training camp. And on Saturday, Nick Bolton's going to hit somebody. Leo Chanel is going to hit somebody. If you've been wanting to see what he looks like in real action, and we all have since the second they drafted him, and we all realized he was the guy out there sharpieing death row on his forearms. Since that moment, I've wanted to see Leo Chanel try to decapitate somebody. Not his teammate. Somebody on the other team. And by decapitate, I mean a nice, clean, by-the-book, legal hit with some ferocity.
Because we know the NFL is looking at trying to call more illegal contact this year.
Yeah, let's just keep your head where it's supposed to be and don't hit their head and just, you know, legislated violence. Maybe that's what we start. Maybe that's what we... Hold on. Did I just stumble into something? Can we start calling the linebackers legislative violence and then they just wear, like... Supreme Court justice robes or something, like big powdered wigs. You can go farther back. I know Supreme Court right now is sort of a, we're all kind of paying attention. So go back, you can go back to old politics if you want, you know? They can all dress up like George Washington or whatever. I don't really care.
That'd be okay.
Legislated violence. Legal violence. I don't know. But I'm excited to see Leo Chanel hit somebody. I'm excited to see what George Karloftis looks like at the professional level against opponents who have a reason to stop him. I think he's going to get plenty of work because he depth chart wise should be out there with the ones, but experience wise should be out there in the third quarter also. And so those are the types of guys that I think you can begin several days out, a full week out, basically. Those are the types of guys that I think you should be circling and saying, hey, well, let's see what we're gonna learn about these guys in competition that is at least somewhat real. You gotta mention Joshua Williams. He's been running with the ones. Rashad Fenton still not practicing with his shoulder surgery that he had this offseason. So Joshua Williams, you know, you certainly don't expect a defensive back to get hurt in a preseason game, regardless of how long he's out there. Joshua Williams is from Fayetteville State. Every pro rep he can get against players trying to make a team is going to be good for him. I think the same could largely be said for Karloftis. You'd want to keep him fresh and healthy, obviously. I think you could probably say the same thing about Trent McDuffie. If the Chiefs aren't worried about injuries specifically to their defensive back, specifically to their corners, wouldn't hurt my feelings one bit to see McDuffie and Williams out there a ton. Legarius Sneed doesn't need quite as much work. He's got NFL playing time under his belt in a meaningful way. If you're Jalen Watson or Naze Johnson, I want to see you guys playing in the third and fourth quarter, and we can start to get a feel for what these guys are really going to be. The two players, though, that I might be actually most excited for, and I'm largely still here in this rookie class, but it's come by it honestly. Karloftis, interesting. All of the later picks, interesting. Will Darian Kennard look like a professional tackle going up against presumably twos and threes? But I want to see how Sky Moore gets used and how long he's out there. Because I think both of those things, regardless of what it looks like, those things I think are going to determine, are going to give us a pretty good indicator in determining what the Chiefs think of him as of this moment. The other guy is Lil Poppy, Isaiah Pacheco. And I don't think there are any two players on this roster who I have had my opinion change on more over the course of training camp than Moore and Pacheco. For Moore, it was never about what he could do. I said from doing the... I'm sure I said it within the first 10 minutes after he was drafted doing our NFL draft show here on 810. I'm sure I said at some point, pump the brakes a little bit. Dude is coming out of Western Michigan, and it's really, really hard to be a major part of an Andy Reid offense as a rookie wide receiver. Literally almost nothing to do with Sky Moore, almost everything to do with reasonable expectations on a young guy. Respect for Andy Reid's offense, the complexities within, etc. That was my only hesitation on Sky Moore. It's just for this year purely. I've said, and it's still probably true, I don't think I'm going to end up with Sky Moore in any of my one-year fantasy football teams. By the end of the season, I could absolutely see him having a major role in this offense. But by that point, you know, in the fantasy world, you've probably already missed out on your window. You probably cut him to pick up the Cowboys' new number two receiver after somebody gets hurt. You know, that's just how fantasy works. He has been a large enough part of the process to this point. The reports out of camp are that he is comfortable and his usage is high enough that I am starting to wonder if he's ahead of schedule. And I don't know if that's his schedule or the Chiefs' schedule or just my assumed schedule, but I think he might be a little ahead of the schedule that I was imposing on him just from what we know about Andy Reid offenses and receivers coming out of small schools. Pacheco might be the most interesting one, though. Like, Kevin Clark of The Ringer tweeted about it today. And it has been everyone at every level. But Kevin Clark tweeted this morning, not a big this team loves their own player reporter guy, but I had two Chiefs people unprompted bring up how impressive Isaiah Pacheco is. I thought Ronald Jones was going to take a big bite out of the carries for this team when they signed him. When they added Jerick McKinnon, I started to wonder a little bit what that group was going to look like. We had conversations on AES with Seth Kizer when they signed Ronald Jones about how he and Clyde Edwards-Helaire have some sort of potentially redundant skill sets, but redundancy at the running back position is not a bad thing. Guys get hurt. It's a war of attrition. We know all this. But I thought Pacheco was going to be like the guy that they try to sneak to the practice squad, or Derek Gore's there, and all of a sudden, now how many running backs are you carrying? Does McKinnon not make the cut? Does now Ronald Jones not make the cut? I don't know. What I do know is Isaiah Pacheco is making the 53-man roster, barring him kicking three kickoffs right back to the Bears on Saturday. Dave Tobe said he's the number one kick returner right now. Everybody says he looks good and is getting first-team work and feeling comfortable in the offense. I really liked the draft pick, which also the larger lesson that we can get more into later when we talk about Jones more and Clyde Edwards-Helaire more, is that you don't need to be a first-round pick to earn your hype in the preseason, in training camp, at the running back position. There are Isaiah Pacheco's in the seventh round and undrafted pretty much every year, just as often as there are guys in the first round that end up making that kind of impact. It's going to be interesting to keep an eye on, and we'll begin hearing from the Chiefs from St. Joe right after we come back. Joshua Briscoe and Beards McFly flying solos, duos, just the two of us here. No Jason Anderson in today's edition of The Zone.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
All right, what'd you learn this weekend, Briscoe?
Learned that Beards is a bleep head.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It is The Zone. There is no Jason Anderson today. My name's Joshua Briscoe. I'm usually here. Now, a new addition to the show, though, a couple weeks into The Zone. Getting to come over here. Jason should be back tomorrow. Beards McFly still here on the other side of the glass. And we're waiting for press conferences from St. Joe. We'll hear live from the Chiefs. I believe our list today is Andy Reid, Chris Jones, Creed Humphrey, Josh Gordon. So they should be pretty near the tent. We will we'll keep an eye out on that here as we go. We are really close, perhaps. I was about to give away some tickets, and Beards just said, "Hey, man, don't give away any tickets. We don't want these people coming to the 100-year anniversary celebration." I was like, "Beards, I thought we did want people coming to the 100-year celebration. You mean the one Thursday night at the Midland in Kansas City? The beautiful star-studded event that's going to encapsulate 100 years of WHB?"
No, the other one.
I don't have any tickets to any other ones. I have tickets to that one to give away. We will give away some tickets today, and we will give you multiple chances to do that over the course of the show. But we believe that we should be just moments away from the Chiefs live from St. Joe with Andy Reid on his way to the podium. A lot to look forward to as we are in sort of preseason game week. As Chiefs-Bears coming on Saturday, should be a lot of fun for a lot of the guys we've already talked about, from Pacheco and Sky Moore and George Karloftis, largely a lot of the rookies, Pacheco being the upset special, I suppose, not the high draft pick that you're looking forward to. And Andy Reid will talk about him and many others right here live from St. Joe.
It was a groin strain, Fenton, same thing with the shoulder. He's making progress. Jody's making progress. Jennings, Yang, and Stallworth has a knee contusion and working through that. Other than that, everybody else practiced. Lighter practice today, lighter weather for us, so it was cool today. And the guys got good work in. I appreciate the effort and attention to detail that they're doing. We can always get better in that area, which we're working on, but they're focusing in and working, and that's so important. Anyways, with that, time, Drew.
Coach, we get Josh Gordon here shortly in a few minutes. As you look over his total body of work from the offseason workout program through 11 days of camp, how would you evaluate this development?
Yeah, Josh is really, he's attacked it. He's really, the last few days here, he's had really good days. Again, I appreciate his effort, and he's kind of the senior citizen of that group. You know, he's the older receiver in that mix and has had success in this league. And the way he approaches it is full throttle, and he's going for it. And there's great competition, but for him to be in there doing what he's doing, I appreciate, you know, every snap he takes in there.
But you guys moved on from Baker in the past few days. Just, what do you think when it's a hit, just not really working out here?
Yeah, you know, good kid. He just we had to make some decisions on who's who there, and that's the route we went.
You talked about the competition at wide receiver. It's continued throughout camp. Is this about as competitive as a group that you had to try to, when you're kind of having to get down to those numbers?
Yeah, I would tell you probably yes. I mean, every camp is competitive, but I tell you that because of some of the openings that we've had with people leaving, there's competition, and it's good. And then Brett's brought in great people, so he's brought in good players that are going to compete. And somewhere we're going to have to let some good players. You know, good players go, I'm sure. So, but it's a tribute to Brett and the job he's done.
You mentioned the new faces. I mean, obviously, you have new veterans in, but a lot of rookies this year. Has that changed maybe your approach to rotations a bit during this camp, as far as, you know, maybe wanting to give some different guys looks, and so maybe some other guys haven't gotten as many chances?
We've done that before, so I don't want to tell you we haven't. We've moved people in and out just to see what we've got. One of the tricks is to come out of this thing, especially with the three games, come out of this thing knowing who you've got. And so we've tried to mix them in, and some of that chemistry stuff is important. See how they do with the ones, some of the twos, mix them in with the ones, and see how they handle it. Depth in this league is a beautiful thing. I mean, you want to make sure you've got it, and you don't want to miss on that. And sometimes those guys get neglected a little bit.
Ian, I'm sorry. You went to Seaver Meal.
Yes.
Before you went in the Hall of Fame. What compelled you to go take that trip out there?
Yeah, he's been a great mentor to me. I mean, for a long, lot of years. And you know how Coach Vermeil is. I mean, if he's in with you and knows you, he's in. So I've had some great times. We've kind of followed a little bit of the same, a couple of the same steps here. We're at Philadelphia, which is a unique place, and Kansas City, unique place. So we've had that experience. And when you're a head coach, there's not a lot of guys you can talk to that have that have been in the same places you've been. And he's been tremendous that way. Just coaching me up on things.
Do you have any stories about what kind of resource he was for you when you were first getting started back in Philly?
Yeah, I invited him out to practice, and when he was done with his coaching, I had called him. Actually, I had called him and talked to him before I took the Philly job, he just said, "Listen, it's a great organization, great people. It's tough, but it's a great place to be. And if you can coach there, you can, you make it through. You're doing okay." So, but he was, and he lived there. That was kind of his home base. Even though he's still working here and he's finishing up with the Rams. So, and then he did the same thing when I came here. The exact same thing. He talked to me about the atmosphere here and said what bad guys you are. No, he didn't. But he coached me up on it, and that's priceless, right? I mean, that's priceless. So, and he checks in all the time. I mean, if it's not once a week, it's pretty close to once a week, and just make sure everything's going all right. He loves the game and that whole deal. So I appreciate all that.
We'll get Chris Jones in a second. How have you seen him evolve into the player he's become?
Yeah, I mean, Chris has grown up right before us. I think we've seen that. He's going wild out here every day. Maximum effort. He's in great shape. He's, over the last few years here, he's really dedicated himself to being in tip-top shape and pushing himself. He's a fun-loving guy, but he's learned to kind of funnel that in to when he's on the field, it's all business. And that's how he's gone about it. So he, Joe's been good with him and working hard. So he's on pace for a good year. A
couple more guys.
Coach, we also got Creed Humphrey here shortly as well. If I were to make a statement that Creed is one of the best centers in the NFL, how much would you agree with that?
Yeah, so I think Creed's challenge is this year, that he was a newcomer last year. Now all these coaches have had a chance to study him for an off season, and they'll try to throw him some different pitches in there. So how he handles that will be important. He played well last year and was one of the best, but these coaches get creative and they're going to challenge you. So the work that he's put in and he's putting in now is so important.
Coach, can you talk about having Michael Baker practice yesterday? What that relationship is for you, man?
Yeah, I'm a big Michael Vick fan. I've watched him go through his trials and tribulations and come out on the better end. He's a great father, husband, and he loves the game most of all. And he's doing what you guys do. So to get a little football fix, he was excited about that. And what a great player too. I mean, he was a phenomenal player and big heart. He's got a great heart to him.
Last two.
And Amy, for this passing offense of guys that don't necessarily have the game experience to lean on in the past,
Yeah, so it's important that we practice those. And it's good to, you call them in practice when you're going against a defense. We might not always get to the deep one, it might be covered. So these practices here, these 10-to-10s where you have opportunities to take shots down the field, you take them and you get yourself on the same page with the receivers. We'll continue to do that as we go.
Last one, Aaron.
Being in Canton, you talking to Coach Camino, you ever think about
putting
that goal jacket yourself?
Yeah, that's not, I mean, that's not where my mind was, obviously. I mean, I was there for him. That seems, you know, that those kind of things you don't, I don't think about. I'm trying to get this team ready to go play. So, but it was great to see him. I'll tell you what was a unique story was there were five guys that stood on the stage there. Stage is broken up. You know, it's like a platform like this. There are two lines on either side, and there are all the Yellow Jackets that are already in the Hall of Fame. And each guy came down, the four before Coach Vermeil, he was last in line. They come down one side, one the other side, and they shake hands and high-five, hug, and all that. The time that it took those four together to come down took Coach Vermeil to come down and get on that stage. I mean, to the point where the fellow that was emceeing just goes, hey, this is Dick Vermeil. He's coached for 50-plus years. He knows everybody. And that says it all. I mean, that's why he's there. Phenomenal, phenomenal human being.
All right. Thank you.
There you go. Andy Reid telling some good stories about Dick Vermeil. Said he checks in with him pretty much weekly still. And he's right. They have a lot of common ground in terms of the places they coach, even kind of a couple different acts in their careers. A lot of interesting stuff there, ranging from Josh Gordon to Michael Vick being out there yesterday. He was, I believe, a coaching intern a year or two ago. Beard said, we were kind of talking in the talk back there. Beard said, seems like something's going to happen there at some point. I think he's right about Michael Vick being around Andy Reid and the Chiefs. And we'll go back out to St. Joe to hear from Chris Jones live here on Sports Radio 810.
A little bit of both, you know. You want to enjoy the time, enjoy the chemistry you're able to build, especially with your teammates, and being able to separate from everything else that's going on and being isolated here. You kind of enjoy that, but you also miss home. So it's a little bit in between.
Chris, we just talked to Andy. He mentioned your ability to, you know, be a fun-loving guy, but when it comes to practice, you know, you're all business. How do you go about flipping that switch when you do have to kick it down?
For me, more so, it's about, you know, I have a mission here, especially when stepping on this practice field. You know, our mission is to get better, 1% better every day. And that's a balance. I mean, you can come out here and have fun, but make sure you're doing it at your highest capability on this field, making sure you're leading guys as an example. So I take that personal, especially when I'm stepping on the field.
You're obviously the leader of this defensive line. You know, you've done the whole Sac Nation thing. What's the identity, do you think, of this year's defensive line?
Just being gritty, man. Being gritty. I think we left a lot of opportunities last year, our last game of the season on the field. And we was able to make a few changes in the defensive line room, bring my brother back and a lot of familiar faces back. And I think this year it's about being gritty, stopping the run, stopping the pass, and doing whatever we can to help this defense out.
Chris, what signs are you seeing out there that maybe you guys will be more productive as a group, as a rushing quarterback this year?
As a D-line, more so it's all about being consistent, you know, day in and day out. You know, especially playing against our offense like we have, you know, it's hard to stay at a high level consistently because they throw so many things at you. So for me, more so, it's about being consistent on the front four, making sure that we taking no days off.
You talked about using the Joe Burrow almost sack in the AFC Championship game last year as motivation. You not having a postseason sack, does that motivate you as well?
No, I got a postseason ring. I got a championship ring, you know what I mean? So when you talk about a postseason sack, I'm not really striving for postseason sacks. The game plan change. You know, the ordeal of the D-line changed. So when you talk about that, I have a ring. I have more rings than sacks, but this year I get a sack, if it makes y'all happy.
Chris, you've gone up against some of the NFL's best centers over your career. You get to practice against Creed Humphrey. How do you think he measures up when you compare him to some of the best centers in the NFL?
You look at his grade, should have been an All-Pro last year. You know, they snubbed him from that. Snubbed him from his first Pro Bowl. But, hey, keep on chopping. Keep on chopping, and the success, it will come over time. Those guys are their front five guys. They're relentless now. They're relentless. They're good. Doing a really good job of protecting Pat and that's what we need. We're able to compete every day, challenge each other, and it's good when you have that type of talent on the offensive line because it makes guys around them better, especially the D-line. We're able to compete at a high level day in, day out.
And you get to go against him a couple of times in the one-on-ones and full pass. How strong is this guy?
Well, I haven't went against him. I try to stay as far away from the nose spot as possible, but no, I'm just kidding. I've seen a lot of great competitive battles, especially one-on-one. You know, that's when a mano against a mano, am I better than you? So it's been a lot of competitive battles.
Chris, there's some pass rushing techniques that you sort of identified and sort of worked on as a defensive end last year that you can sort of translate and use at defensive tackle this year where maybe you haven't sort of shown that at that position?
I think it's all the same. Just defensive tackle, happen more faster than the defensive end. You know, you have a few steps to take as a defensive end. As a tackle, you take one step, the guy is on you. So I think the game speed is a little more faster in defensive tackle, but I don't think the moves actually change.
Chris, you mentioned when you're talking about the defensive line, they got your brother back. It did seem like Frank may not be back this season. When you heard that news and heard that, okay, he's going to be back for 2022, how did you react to it?
I'm always ecstatic to have my brother back, man. I think Frank played a pivotal part of the success of this team, especially coming in first year winning a championship. Next year we go into another championship in AFC last year. So I think he's been a huge part of the success of this team also. So when you have a guy like that back and know what he's capable of doing, I think he's almost about to have the record in the postseason at sacks, you know what I mean? And his success speaks for itself. I don't have to tell you his accolades, but I think it's ecstatic to have him back on the defensive line.
Tershawn has had some good reps on the inside this camp. How do you think him and Dana are doing on the inside?
Excuse me?
Tershawn Gordon.
Oh, Turk. Turk and Mike Dana, they're coming along. Coach Collins has been challenging those guys every day, and they've been dealing with adversity as well. They've been responding well, and it's actually exciting to see those guys grow and become who they are. You know, it's a day-to-day process, but that's what it's all about. Continue to grow, continue to get 1% better, and, you know, I'm excited for them. I'm excited for them. It's a long season, and we'll see where it comes.
Chris, Evan.
I love Joe. I love Joe, man. Joe is my guy. Joe is my guy. Me and Joe see eye to eye on a lot of things. I don't think we had a disagreement yet, but we definitely see eye to eye on a lot of different things and the mechanics, how we view pass rushing, the aspect of pass rushing, and how we feel this D-line should be in, you know, what type of expectations we should have as a group. And I love Joe, man. I love, that's my guy.
Now that you've had Carlos here for a little bit and he's ramping up, what's it like having him in that room and having him on the line?
He's still in the acclimation period, so I haven't been able to get the full stint of Carlos, but having his leadership and his knowledge of the game, for him to be able to break things down and offer more ideas, I think is special for us as a D-line. And it can help us out on the pass rush.
Last two, Sam and me.
Chris, every year there's personnel changes, but this year there's pretty significant ones without Tyron here and without Anthony here. What's it like without, you know, some pretty clear vocal leaders for you guys the past 3 years not being?
Yeah, we was able to bring in Justin Reed, and we keep moving forward. I trust in Veach and Coach Reed to make those decisions, and whoever they bring, I think is best for the team. And, you know, Justin Reed, he's been a pivotal guy, forces one to step up, and, you know, one has answered that bell, he has answered that call, and I think it's been good for this defense as a whole to, you know, to have those guys back there. And, you know, that's the way the NFL works. You know, 1 year they're here, next year they're gone. You know, unfortunately, it's a business, but, you know, I'm thankful to have those guys that we have back there.
Say you and Joe see eye to eye. Is there an example where you were first meeting him where you can sort of tell that this might be an impactful sort of addition to your career where you and Joe see eye to eye?
The first time we met, we actually discussed pass rush. I realized he was a high energy guy, but we had a lot in common. And, you know, especially with the pass rush, I know I expressed my love for pass rush and rushing the quarterback to him, and he expressed his love, and we kind of connected then. And you know, it's been a beautiful thing so far, so we just got to keep it going.
Chris,
Thank you, guys.
There's Chris Jones. Quite a bit to say on quite a few different things there. His love for Joe Cullen, the new defensive line coach that the Chiefs brought in this offseason. Also, a pretty good line. Hey, does it give you some motivation that you don't have a postseason sack? Nah, I've got a postseason ring. It's pretty good. Rings isn't always a be-all, end-all argument, but it's a pretty good one there. Let's switch to the other side of the line. Creed Humphrey live from St. Joe.
Think about that kind of stuff. And if you do think about it, what kind of motivation does that give you?
Yeah, I appreciate that from Chris. You know, getting that praise from a guy as good as him is pretty cool. But, you know, to be honest, I don't really try to think of those things during the season. I try to just focus on what I can do for the team and, you know, how I can improve my game. So.
Coach Reed said coming back for the second year is even harder because the defenses are they'll be coming at you in a different way. What sort of things can you try to prepare for that? Who are you leaning on to understand what might be different this time around?
Yeah, you know, it's nice having guys like, you know, Joe, Orlando, Andrew on the line, you know, that have been in that position, you know, that have came in that second year, have done that second year. So it's been nice to talk to them about it and everything. For me, it's really just I'm continuing to focus on my game and, you know, try to get my weaknesses better and my strengths better. So really that's what I'm focused on right now in camp is improving how I play the game. Yeah, definitely. You know, it's been very competitive these past couple of weeks. You know, we've had some hot days, you know, really humid hot days. It's been, you know, everybody's been pretty moist out there. Just getting after it, though, and competing every play. So it's been really good. You know, you kind of see the mental toughness of what we have in the group and, you know, what the defensive line has in the group. So it's been really fun to see. And, you know, we have some very talented guys who are also, you know, in love with the game. You know, they want to continue to be great and become better. So it's always a good thing when you have that in a room.
When you got teams that you play twice in a season, do those three teams give you a lot of different stuff than maybe you saw in the first matchup against them? Or did you see teams adjusting to you?
You know, adjusting to me individually?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think it goes from person to person. You know, everybody has played you. You know, they kind of know what to expect, so they're going to adjust their game accordingly. The same way I'm going to adjust my game whenever I play them. So, you know, definitely there's points in the game where you can tell that they made an adjustment to how they're going to rush you or how they're going to play on, you know, different blocks. But it's also something that you can kind of see coming if you're watching film, you know, what they like to do against, you know, certain types of things. So it's all... It's really, you know, they're going to make adjustments, but, you know, so do we.
Chris joked that he tries to avoid doing one-on-ones. What type of challenge is that going up against Chris when you do try?
Yeah, you know, Chris is one of those guys that if he wants to get after you in one-on-ones, he's going to. You know, he's got so many great moves, and he's so good at every single move he does. You know, so talented, so athletic, very agile for how big he is, very strong, too. So he's one of those guys that, you know, he's just, you know, a different beast. So, He's definitely a fun guy to go against in practice, though. You know you're going to get better every time you go against him. So it's been awesome to go against him this camp.
What do you think is his best
move? Oh, man. You know, he's really good with his hands, being able to forklift your hands off of him. He's got that really good. You know, his power moves are all good. You know, he's really good at swatting hands, too. So, I mean, he's just very well-rounded. You know, he doesn't have a certain move that he's good at. He's good at so many different things.
Ones are usually one of the highlights of practice that people really enjoy watching. How much do you enjoy them, and how do you approach them? Do you approach them like you're working on something specific, or is it just the competition?
Yeah, well, you know, it's definitely competition first, but it's also a good time where you can, you know, settle down, work on different techniques that you want to use to get better at, things like that. So the way I approach it is, obviously, you want to win the rep, but you want to be able to work on different moves, you know, going against different guys who have different moves, you know, who may rush different than other guy you went against. Really, for me, it's about settling down, making sure you're working on those moves the right way, and then just competing after that.
With the wrestling background you have, what about it was able to help you transition so quickly in the NFL and have the success
you've had? Yeah, definitely, you know, balance, mental toughness aspect of wrestling was a huge key for me. You know, you're mentally drained throughout a whole wrestling season. You're cutting weight every day. You know, you're cutting 30 pounds every week just to make weight, different things like that. So definitely mental toughness. That's a big thing. Balance, core strength, core power, the way you use your hands, and then, you know, understanding leverage. Those are some of the biggest things.
Having gone to Texas, what was that experience like at OL Masterminds, and what were you
Yeah, it was really good this year. You know, we had a lot of different Hall of Fame guys. You know, we had Willie Rofe there this year, Steve Hutchinson, Mark Schlereth, Willie Anderson. So it was a good group of guys that was there, and it was really cool to hear from them. You know, their different experiences and how they approached the game and what made them so good. So it was a really good time to talk to them and just kind of understand what made them so good and what made them special players. Man, I would say Willie Rofe, just, you know, him coming from New Orleans to Kansas City, that whole experience for him and just how he handled it and, you know, just became such a great player here too and, you know, made a huge impact for this organization was that was really cool to hear, you know, from my end. So I definitely thought that was cool.
I'm good.
Thanks, Creed.
There's Chief Center Creed Humphrey live from St. Joe here on Sports Radio 810 WHB Kansas City. Joshua Briscoe, Beards McFly with you. Jason Anderson out today. Should be back tomorrow. You've heard now Creed Humphrey, and I also think Trey Smith talked about Willie Rofe. I was trying to find. I don't actually see. I'm trying to remember who it was that was also talking about learning from Willie Rofe at the OL Masterminds event. Maybe we just heard from Creed twice on that topic. I'm not sure. Those guys were all definitely down there together, though. I just went and found a picture from July. Interesting stuff there in the trenches. But let's go back out to wide receivers as Josh Gordon takes the podium in St. Joe.
What do you feel with Pat as far as chemistry?
Very comfortable. Very comfortable. The playbook, similar now. I think we changed it a little bit, you know, but more or less the same. So it's been easy for me to adapt to it, kind of carry over from last year.
With your career going how it's gone, where are you at mentally right now?
You know, I think I'm just happy to be here, you know. I think I'm just happy to be here. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't ask for a better opportunity. Go ahead.
Sorry, Josh. Is there anything that you wanted to sort of further develop after getting that game experience last year, now having
Yeah, I believe so. I think there's definitely rapport to be built on. I know we didn't have that last year really at all. I think this offseason has been my first opportunity, our first opportunity to do that. Coach Reed and the offensive coordinators and everything here, they've given me that opportunity to try to, you know, to get to that point with him. So, you know, we got some time left here before the preseason, so maybe we'll see what happens and hopefully I do enough to make the team.
Yeah, I think last season was a trying time for a lot of people.
Yeah, for a team like the Chiefs coming to this team in different scenario, figuring out which roles to play, things like that, it was almost a insurmountable task, you know, so I was just happy to be out there, you know, be of any use I could be. But it was definitely a steep hill to climb, that's for sure.
Josh, does it bother you at all seeing some of the suspension numbers given what your suspension was, maybe for something less serious now in the NFL?
It compares to...
Well, I mean, specifically like a Deshaun Watson type of suspension, obviously what you did cost you more games than...
Just different times, I think. We're living in different times, and but I'm not really sure to touch on that in this situation. I'm not sure the details on it, I'll be honest, but, you know, so it's really out of my hands, man, but I wish them the best. I wish the league the best. I wish they figure it out, so, yeah.
What's it like being in that wide receiver room this year? A lot of guys get a lot of competition.
Oh, man, some great group of guys, a lot of talent, very deep, extremely fast. It's highly competitive. I think it's a perfect nature to groom young men for excellence, especially on the football field and off as well, you know, just as far as being disciplined, knowing how we got to edge out the competition, not only each other, you know, for the sake of our livelihood, but the other team, most importantly, you know, so.
Jesse, do you approach preseason games at this stage in your career slightly different than maybe 2012, 2013?
Man, at this point, I'm just happy to have any preseason game. If I'm playing any game, honestly, anytime I'm out there, I'm just happy to be out there. If they, if I'm playing, if I'm not playing, just to be in the environment, atmosphere, it's a good time.
You mentioned you hope you do enough between now and the roster trimmings to make the team. What do you think you need to do to make this team?
Make plays when coach asks me to.
So you are looking forward to like the opportunities to get more reps in, during the preseason games, especially.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's when it's time to do what we get asked to do. You know, that's what I came here to do. When the lights were on, you know, I want to do a practice first for sure, but you can't always get it right in practice. You don't always have the time, the reps, opportunity. You got to take the mental reps and what space and opportunity I have, and then just go show and prove it. So come the preseason games, that's what I hope to do.
Generally speaking, as you watch tape and kind of self-evaluate, how do you feel your camp has gone so far, and what do you hope to accomplish the rest of the way?
I think there's definitely room for improvement always, as long as I've been doing it now. Still, that's a frustrating part of the game, the bittersweetness of it, but that's what kind of keeps us coming back, kind of like, you know, your golf swing or something like that, if you like golf, you know what I mean? So I love the game. I'm addicted to it. I'm obsessed with it. So I'm watching it. I'm watching to see, you know, how can I get out of break quicker, maybe transition a little bit better, you know, after the catch, catching the ball in general, you know, things like that. So.
What's it been like being with Corey Coleman and having him?
Corey, man, that's my guy. Love Corey to death. Glad to see him back out here doing his thing, you know, staying at it, staying hungry, diligent, hardworking, definitely more mature, you know, from when I know him, a long, young cat. So it's good to see him at this point developing his career and still hungry, still at it. And, you know, the world is up for grabs for him, so.
Time to watching film or just hanging out?
All that. We talk football every day. He's always calling me about something, trying to figure out what I think about some route he ran a week ago or something, you know, so we'll end up on, yeah. We do that a lot.
Like when you're friends with a guy way back in the day, and you mentioned the competitiveness of this camp. You guys are maybe fighting for the same spot. Yeah. I mean,
He knows. There's no love lost there. You know, if he edges me out, I'd love it. I'd love it. That means he got, you know, I gave him my all. He gave his all, and that's all I could want for him. You know, and you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's bigger than the game of football. You know, so I just want him the best for him, and I just want to see myself do the best I could do.
What's your confidence level right now that you'll be on the
roster? There's no telling. You know, I'd say. Cars are close to the vest, I think, as they should be for everybody, I think, for important reasons. But more importantly, I just want to go out and with the opportunities I get, give them 110% and wherever where the cars fall, where they may, and see what happens. But I do not have an answer for that, to be honest. I don't. You know, I wasn't a starter last year, you know, so I'm not. I'm fighting for a spot like everybody else.
Yeah.
Josh, because you played with so many different quarterbacks in your career, I just wonder what jumps out to you about Patrick when you guys aren't on the field practicing at this sort of setting in camp.
He's quick, he's quick-witted, he's adept to things very, very, almost before, he sees things almost before they happen, somewhat on film. He's noticing things in three or four different places at once. You can notice how just how attentive he is and noticing just the environment around him, his awareness, you know, is very good.
Josh, you talked about being grateful for the opportunity. I've heard it a few times. I think you've had on social media. Just what goes into that for you to just keep saying that you're blessed and having this? What goes into that?
Because I don't think you have to overcomplicate it. You know, I think a lot of times we do tend to overthink things. I know I do. I can speak for myself. So I probably used to, probably more than I think I should. And at the end of the day, just controlling what you can and what we have in front of us. And that's the mindset, I think, to try to stay right there and live for the day. You know, keep it simple.
What would today's Josh Gordon say to 2013 Josh Gordon or the young rookie Josh Gordon?
Oh, man. It's going to be a long road. There's a lot of ups, there's a lot of downs. You know, when you're down, just keep going. You know, find a way, just keep going.
All good?
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's Josh Gordon live from St. Joe, live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, Kansas City. Joshua Briscoe, Beards McFly, the two here with you today in the zone. Jason Henderson out today. Lots of breakdown there. We'll take a break here in a second and come back and sift through some of the things you heard there from Andy Reid, Josh Gordon, Creed Humphrey, Chris Jones. A lot of good stuff, plus also some things you may have missed over the weekend from Eric Bieniemy and Juan Thornhill. But we're working around here up to a big day on Thursday, because Thursday night is the celebration of 100 years of WHB. And also, you're invited. And if you get in under the wire, here's what we're going to do. You can call in at 913-3810-810 to win a pair of tickets to our 100-year celebration Thursday night. That's at the Midland. It's going to be an incredible evening. And for you to win the tickets, we're going to give away three pairs of tickets right now. So your chances are pretty good. But you're not going to just get them for free. Right now, they'll be free. But you're not going to get them for nothing. Because what I want you to do is, we've been talking a lot this offseason about Tyreek Hill. Now in training camp, we've been talking a lot about Isaiah Pacheco, Trent Green. Believe he's on the attendance list right now for our evening at the Midland. Who else has worn number 10 for the Kansas City Chiefs? Call in, tell Beard someone who has worn number 10 for the Chiefs in a regular season game who is not Tyreek Hill, Trent Green, or Isaiah Pacheco. Those are too easy. Reach the next level of your Chiefs knowledge. A Chiefs player who's worn number 10, three winners. You can have all the same answer. Don't worry about which 10 you get. Just make sure you're a 10 when you call 913-3810-810. More Zone next.